Okay, and our next storyteller is this little sprite again, and she's got a story of up all night with the Westport PD.
This program had all kinds of variations of moods and stuff, so I'm going to tell you a story, true story, and I'm going to try and be introspective about it, which is I can't stand in front of the speakers and I wander around a lot. I'd like to call it failing a field sobriety test, which is if you Google my name and failing a field sobriety test and my name, you'll find it on Westport Now as it first came out when I wrote it purely as a repertorial story. Because when you write, and I've been in journalism, when you write as a journalist, you can't have any opinions. You have to tell the actual story. And Gordon Joseloff, the then first selectman, also a fellow journalist, said to me, I said, Gordon, I had the most bizarre experience. I got arrested, DUI. He said, were you guilty? I said, I don't know. And he said, what do you mean you don't know? I said, well, I couldn't do the breathalyzer test. And I said, but it was a really unpleasant experience. And it wasn't like I was, you know, crazed or preposterous. So he said, can you write it? I said, yes. He said, so write it just the way it happened, which I did do. And I did not yet know what my blood alcohol levels are. And I've since bought a breathalyzer. I don't have it with me, but when I feel a little buzzed, I do get people to drive me home. And somebody who was with me the evening that this happened, Friday the 13th, 2011, is here tonight. And the joke is, he bought me a drink. One drink. I mean, look at me. He bought me one drink. And he's been 25 years in a program. And we've been friends for a very long time. And he said, I need to talk to you. And I said, buy me a drink. And that began this story. So I am on Post Road. I'm crossing the border between Fairfield and Westport, which I later learn in my actual New York City girl naivete is the place where the Fairfield cops and the Westport cops, who are all into creepy things in different towns, have watches. So people who pass from Fairfield into Westport are being watched. And people who pass from Westport into Fairfield are being watched. I've never known this. Mainly, my husband drives when we're out and drinking. And if somebody stops him, he says, no, sir, I'm not drinking. And I'm thinking, shit, he was drinking. I'm scared of him. But I don't say anything. I'm like, oh, okay. So, and I grew up in my father was a significant drinker. In New York, he had a lot of power. And he only drank during the week. And when he came home, the cops brought him home. And I thought, you know, the cops in New York were Andy Griffith. I thought when I moved to the suburbs, if you did anything wrong, Andy Griffith brought you home. That was I didn't even have a fantasy. Yet you had to, like, plug the probe into my head to get that fantasy going. Because I had never driven drunk. Or so I thought. I thought this would be interesting. So I have just come back, part of the mother-in-law stories, from a week in Los Angeles with my mother-in-law, who has OCD to the max. We are on the plane for 5 minutes and she's sure someone has stolen her watch. We have to like empty suitcases on the plane. And I'm taking her to visit her dying sister-in-law, who didn't die till 5 years later. But I go out to Los Angeles with her on a plane, and we have a hotel, which she says she's going to find us an affordable hotel because she's a depression kid. I kind of get it. She finds us a fabulous hotel in Century City forget that she doesn't understand that you pay for parking. And then I said to her, the only thing I need is to use the gym. And if I'm with you, I didn't say this, I need to use the gym 10 times a day. So she like books this hotel. So we get to Los Angeles. It isn't easy getting there. I have to get handicapped stuff. I have to have, she needs 27 boxes. And we get there, you know, you all get it. If my mother hadn't died young, maybe I would have been a kinder person. But I'm like thinking, oh my God, this is a woman who pulled a heist on me with a ring. But we get to the Avenue of the Stars, according to the GPS. And we get to the Century City, whatever it is. And if you all look at my business cards, you will see that a Mouse Muse is the MGM logo with a mouse in the middle. We're across from MGM, and I see, and I'm sure that I've given the graphic designer the right thing. And we get there. I spent the time with my mother-in-law. I'm so crazed. I call friends, two sets of friends, two guys I went to school with, and I'm out every night. I finally get home. I'm on LA time. I do pretty well on LA time. But I've had one Valium and one glass of wine on the plane, nothing to eat. So I'm 3 hours off. I have an art opening I want to go to. Not because I want to see the art, but I need to connect with the then chairman of the board of the Print Center because I want her to run a program of mine. And I know her quite well, so I say to myself, Get her home, get there. So I drop her off. I'm wearing jeans, a little jacket, have a little pocketbook with a package of Ricola cough drops and $100. And thank God, my driver's license. So I get my mother-in-law home. I stop at the Fairfield County Arts Council to see this opening. And I go in, and I meet, and I do, you know, you all know, if you're rainmakers or artists or anything, you do what you have to do. They're wonderful people. I go, thinking, oh, I got to go home and go to sleep. My husband plays with an orchestra, and it's a symphony night rehearsal. Why? It's a Friday. And what is the date? Friday the 13th. But he is going to play, and he said, what time will you be home? I said, maybe 9 o'clock. And he said, I'll be home by 10. He goes his way, I go my way. I get to the Arts Council. I do my glad handing. And these are really nice people. The glad handing's not that fake. And then I run into somebody I know. And he's had an assignation with somebody who's in the Arts Center. And I've known this. And I said, so are you meeting with so-and-so? And he said, she dissed me. And I said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, blip her and the horse she rode in on. I need to sit with you and talk with you. And I said, well, it's fine. So he said, can I buy you a drink? I don't know. But we go to O'Bar, where he buys me a drink, a martini, which used to be my favorite drink. And it was like a bowl of vodka. I have children who say, Mom used to be able to drink a bowl of vodka. Well, able is one thing. Whether I should have is a whole other thing. So I had this drink, and this friend of mine and I are talking. And I said to him, I feel a little buzzed. I don't know if it's buzzed or dizzy. I don't really know. I'm tired. I'm on LA time. And he says, do you want me to? I said, can you get me home? And he says to me, now remember, this is a guy in a program. He's concerned. So he orders me a 5 cups of tea, which is not the name of a book, 5 cups of tea. This is the name of a woman who's had 3 kids who doesn't want to be in the police station that won't let her pee because I've had 5 cups of tea. And he says, I will take you home on my Moto Guzzi, but I don't have an extra helmet. with me tonight. Now, I have to tell you, I've ridden with this guy. I've made him go 5 miles an hour in Southport, but and he's pretty good about it. Anyway, he walks me around the block. He checks me out. He says, "You look okay. I feel okay." I get behind the wheel, and I say to myself, "Stay in the lines." Now, the minute you say "stay in the lines," I've learned you shouldn't be driving. So I get to where Mitchell's has grooved pavement. If anyone remembers, not that long ago, 4 years ago, they are redoing the entire street, and there's netting everywhere. It says, "Slow down, no lanes, grooved pavement." I say, slow to myself, same thing, "slow down, grooved pavement." I have my phone in my lap. I see a cop car behind me, and I say, "You have your emission sticker? Is everything correct?" And I throw the phone down because I haven't been on the phone. I figure he'll drop me. He doesn't. So he stays behind me, and I get to where the Volvo dealership is. And I say to myself, crap, it's me. He wants me. And he pulls beside me, and he says to me, "Hi, have you been drinking?" And I look at him. He's great green eyes. He's young. He's handsome. I used to be able to do this. And I said to him, "Not drinking. I had a drink. I wouldn't use the ing." So he says, "I need you to pull over. Give me your license." I give him my license. It's the only thing I have in my pocketbook besides Ricola cough drops and a few hundred dollars, which is more than I usually have. I usually have $1 million because I've done a show and they pay me in cash, or a dollar. But this time I have $200 because I went to California and thought I may need it, may need cash. So he gives me, he says, "Pull over." The minute we pull over, I see another cop car. I guess he says, "Give me your license." He has radioed or whatever they do. And there's another cop car, and out comes a woman. And they push me against the car, and they pat me down. They, like, I'm wearing my, what is it, citizens, or Mankind, or All Kind for Seven, my most expensive jeans, high heels, a little pack, a cute sweater, and I've just come back from L.A., and I'm leaning on a car, and I'm being patted down, and I'm thinking, this is surreal. So they decide I have no weapons. Maybe the Ricola drops. I don't know what they'll do chemically. So we go. I do the field sobriety test. Now, I need you all to know there is no such thing as a sobriety test in Westport. If you get picked up DUI, you have to go, and they believe, quote unquote, as they did with me, there was probable cause. You have to go back to the precinct. If you go back to the precinct, you need to be cuffed. If they don't cuff you, even if you're a chickadee, then they are accused of profiling people, Hispanics, Arabs. So I understood, but all of a sudden, I see my car being towed away. I haven't even done my field sobriety test. And I see my car being towed away, and a woman comes up to me. We do the field sobriety test. I keep saying, "Do you have a breathalyzer?" Not until the precinct. So whatever it is, they decide I need to go back to the precinct. She throws me into the back of the taxi, the police car. She cuffs me so hard my wrists are bleeding. She says to the guy, a guy cop, "I should sit back there. She can slip her hands out of the cuffs and run down Post Road." And I'm looking at her. I'm wearing wedge shoes. I'm 4'10". I weigh 103 pounds. And I start to laugh. And she says, "You're insubordinate." We go back to the police station. I can't do the breathalyzer. I have to pee. If I take a breath, I need to go to the bathroom. And I said to her, "Listen, I had 14 ounces of water. She says, you can't go. The guy says, let her go. They let me go. She follows me into a room that looks like Jeffrey Dahmer's basement. I'm sure I'm going to be dismembered. And she hands me a piece of... She stands opposite me with two guns. And she says, okay. And I come back, and I still can't get enough breath to do the breathalyzer. And the guy cop says to her, it's good cop, bad cop. The guy cop says to her, you know, she's very little. She doesn't have a lot of space between here and there. I said, can't we do blood? You can't do blood because they have to take you to Newark Hospital if you do blood. I said to her, do you think I need a pulmonologist? And she says to me, that is the second time you've used a three-syllable word with me. Now, I want to go back without too much, as my granddaughter says, Nana, and is it still in the parentheses, and say to you that these are women to whom my generation gave power. And I am sure she makes $30,000 a year as a cop in a town like this where you can't live. And unless you've snagged another income, there's like a huge socioeconomic divide. And I am now the scapegoat. And I'm not angry, I'm just aware. And I just decide, no more three-syllable words. You'll be in a lot of trouble. And I said to her, I am sorry, but if I was Hispanic, you would listen to me. But I'm a writer, and I use a lot of syllables. A lot of people would like to smack me for it, but you can't arrest me for it. Anyway, she says, we're going to spend the night in the prison. I've been read my Miranda rights. They've taken my iPhone. They haven't offered me the house phone. I know my husband is scared shitless waiting for me. They finally give me back my iPhone. I ask the cop to call my husband and tell him I cannot get out of jail without $500. It's now 11:45. It's almost midnight. I think he must be crazy. They wake him up. He's not crazy. He's already fallen asleep. He doesn't even know where I am. And they say to him, you need to bail your wife out. She's in jail. And he doesn't quite believe it because he should be in jail all the time. But they give me the phone, and I said, yeah. And he said, for your one drink? I said, it was a very big drink, and I was with your mother. Remember that? I was with your mother. So he says, $500 in cash. They want it in cash. You can't give them a check. You can't give them a credit card. And I said, you can't get it out of, there's a lot of money to be made in this business. The car was $2.30 a night, and it was a Friday night, so I couldn't pick it up till Monday morning. You know what the car cost? It's a $10,000 drink. So he gets there. I can see him on the internal cameras. He can't see me. Finally, the woman says, we'll let you go for the $500. But you have to give us another urine sample. So I said to her, I just gave you 14 ounces of urine. What am I going to do? Can I have a glass of water? She said, no. So they let me drink from the spigot in the prison bathroom and sit there for another half hour. And finally I say, okay. So I come out and there's like, she labels two vials and she says, this may not be enough. I said to her, listen, Abraham Lincoln, it could be determined how much alcohol he had from a skeletal cell. And you're telling me this is not determined? I don't want to say she's scared because she got me in some ways and I got her in others, but she says this will take a long time. It did. I had to get a lawyer. I didn't want a lawyer. I shouldn't have. You don't really need a lawyer. $5,000 for the lawyer. The court cases out here, we're out in 7 court appearances. They still don't have my stuff. Good thing? It took so long that the Motor Vehicle Bureau never rescinded my license because it was past 3 months and they couldn't find my name. Isn't that wonderful? Anyway, it turned out that I was 0.9, which is guilty, And I would have been perfectly happy pleading guilty. I wound up going in Norwalk to the whatever it's called, Renaissance. I was the only woman there. It's the only person there under 30 or over 30. Everyone came in on a skateboard in recidivism. And I must say, don't drive buzzed. It was quite an ordeal. By the time it was over, picking up the car, getting a lawyer, paying for the stuff, and the woman cop who needed to assert her power was at my house last year on a call for false alarm. And when I drove in, because I got a call from the cop, she was standing there. And I said, and so we meet again. And she said, you were three times the limit. I said, that's a lie. But you were three times the abuse that you needed to be. Thank you.
Well, there she goes, Westport's own menace in a tutu, Ina Chadwick.